Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
We're back in our cozy studio, Dr. Paul. How
there
are you?
There we go. All set to go. And checking up on a few things. I understand there's a new budget proposal out, and very, very important government function, and that's to keep us safe. The CIA and this budget and Trump's wants more money. Can you believe that?
He
wants to increase it by 16%, and this is the budget dealing with the CIA and all these secret operations. This is not unusual. It's been around for a long time, and of course, when I was in Congress, I was always interested in trying to find out where the money was and who's spending it. But it's made to be secret, camouflage. To the point where the people involved probably don't even know exactly what's going on. But it's more money to do things they shouldn't be doing, and they haven't proven to be able to stop a tragedy ever that I know of. I mean, just think of the way back then, like in 9/11, we were spending like, I think, $40 billion a year on intelligence gathering.
Yeah.
And then when they went back and looked at it, they said, we should have been doing this. It did nothing to help warn our government or our people about what was going on. And you say, well, are they inept or is this a deliberate way of getting what they want? And maybe there's a little bit of each. One thing for sure is no matter what happens, the solution is more money. And more secret, another layer of secrecy left. Like at 9/11, then we had Department of Homeland Security. that will take care of it. And if it's military or foreign, we just need more money. And this is it. This is more money. They want to take it up to $86 billion, a record number. But it's not hardly any of it's in the open. But there's one that they admit it's in the dark, and that's the black budget, the secret budget, the thing that probably not too many people know exactly where it's going, but Gina Haspel knows where it's going, and a few others like that. And that's now the black budget is up to $23 billion, which will solve nothing, which will probably get us into more trouble than help, probably has no constitutional standing. It didn't exist up until World War II. So this whole thing that that people are frightened to death, people have to be frightened to go along with this, and they have managed to do this. And sometimes they concoct events, and sometimes there is an event, and they'll blow it out of proportion and blame somebody and be scared, and then we'll have to spend money, and the people just, oh, okay, you're right, we're being scared. We'll even sacrifice a little bit of our liberties if you make me safe. So it's a sad situation, but it's perpetual, and this is just another example of a response by our government, by the current administration, that thinks that we need more and more money because we live in a dangerous world. But if you wanted to compare the mess that we have, there is a lot of danger and a mess. But I can name a few times in our history where it was a lot worse, and yet people roll over and do this. The only limiting factor is whether or not we can continue to do this by just paying for it by debt and printing money. And so far, nobody's even raised the question. And so it looks like this is going to continue for a while, and they're going to have their way. And it looks like the oversight is not going to work either.
Yeah, and you know, you were in office. We were all in your office when they, after the 9/11, how do we fix this problem of the fact that somehow these agencies weren't coordinating with each other? Here's a great idea. Let's make another whole layer of bureaucracy over top, because everyone knows how efficient more bureaucracy is. And so that's where Dan Coats, who now sits in the office as Director of National Intelligence, that's where his office came about as the overall director. You don't see much from him except when he pops his head out a few times a year to say what a threat we face from Russia and China and other places. But he did deliver his budget. The White House delivered his budget request, $86 billion, as you mentioned. And the so-called black budget, which is really the military intelligence budget is its technical name, for the fifth straight year, that increased to, as you pointed out, $22.95 billion. And that is a kind of a rebound because it reached its peak. This is info from Defense News, which we read this morning. In fiscal year 2010, it reached its peak of $27 billion. This is the stuff that the secret stuff they do overseas. It hit a low in 2015, ironically under Obama, who loved using special forces and drones and things to kill people. Its lowest was $16.6 billion. But from Trump coming back into office, it's been a steady increase. This is the budget used for all sorts of things overseas, and now to the $22.95 billion within the entirety of the $86 billion spy budget, we call it.
Well, I think the evidence is clear that the old-fashioned request or even legislation to audit the organizations and report back, I think we might as well forget this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent a lot of years and a lot of time on the principle of auditing the Federal Reserve for a very special reason, because the Federal Reserve finances the deep state and everything else, because they don't want us to know about that. So if you combine that with what's happening in the military budget, they probably come together someplace out there, you know, where the Fed can create money. The evidence is so overpowerful about what happened during the crisis, like trillions and trillions of dollars, some estimate over $15 trillion would be used to bail out countries and business and the corporations and banks around the world. But I want to read a quote from Matt Taibbi in Rolling Stones, who's a very good investigative reporter on these financial matters, because he describes this and why it's such a mess and why it's hard to be optimistic that this is ever going to be settled or we're ever going to find the information that we ought to have. But this is one of his statements. This was just put out, I think, yesterday or so. He says, even the military's top-line budget members in an Enron-esque accounting trick, Congress in 2011... passed the Budget Control Act. That sounded like they were serious.
Yes.
Which caps the defense budget at roughly 50% of discretionary spending. That's a sequestering business that nobody followed anyway. Almost immediately, this is the key, almost immediately, it began using the so-called overseas contingency operations, a giant second checking account that can be raised without limit. So all this pretense is they throw it out to people. Finally there's going to be an audit. And they say, yes, we will not. We're going to live within the budget and all this. But all we have to do is throw it in the black budget. And this is what we're doing here. The black budget's now up to $23 billion. And then he summarizes the whole thing about trying to get a handle on this. And there's been some effort. I don't know whether they're sincere or not is something else, but whether it's too messy to understand is probably a more probable answer. So he summarizes this to a degree. He says, at the tail end of last year, the Department of Defense finally completed an audit.
All right.
Oh, we're moving along. Cost a couple dollars, though. They had to hire a few private auditors, and I don't think they were motivated to move quickly.
No
but anyway,
way.
They got together at a cost of $400 million. Some 1,200 auditors charged into the jungle of military finance, but returned in defeat. They didn't find out. They were unable to pass the Pentagon or flunk it. They could only offer no opinion, explaining the military empire of hundreds of acronymic accounting silos was too illogical to penetrate. So there we are, back to square one. I say cut off the money.
Yeah, we're going to run the world, but we can't even run an agency. And these are two very important things, because on the one hand, you have the military, the budget here, the defense budget, and you have the spy budget. This is under Coates. And you have the same kind of thing happening where there's no control, no auditing. And in this slush fund, this war-fighting slush fund called the Overseas Contingency Operations Fund, the White House yesterday proposed a massive increase for next year from $69 billion last year to $165 billion next year in the 2020 budget. It's the whole thing is a farce. It's a joke to get around this idea that they're having a spending cap, sequestration. Remember, all the warmongers said, this is destroying our military. It wasn't destroying our military. They just put it in a whole new box, a whole new thing. They kept piling money in. Now they want $160 billion dollars in for it next year. It's uncapped. It's uncapped.
That's right. And it's a scare tactic. You know, they had the money. They knew it. They weren't hurting, but they even wanted more. So they claim, oh, you've capped this. It's sequestering. And everybody, oh, well, sequestering is a good idea when it comes to food stamps for poor people. But we can't sequester, you know, the military budget. And at the same time, they're lying through their teeth because they said, well, we just took it out here, and we're going to put it over here in this contingency fund. Nobody's allowed to know what's going in there except a few special people. And I just wonder, you know, who the top ally is for the president, for him to make sure he keeps up with it. It's almost like the audit, 1,200 people who've just threw up their hands. We have no idea what they're doing. So how's one person, you know, going to keep hold of it? But I think the most important thing would be hiring the right people who are supposed to be the watchdogs for an administration or for us to at least tell us the truth. And this is why the truth hurts here. All this activity, and it's not worth it. And but what about the value of what we've been doing? Can they, well, how strong is their argument? Say, yeah, but look how many good things that we do for the world. Look how many wars we have prevented.
Yeah, and in fact, we have one graphic. This is U.S. overthrows of governments since World War II, if we can get it up there. This is the late William Bloom, who was a great anti-war writer, an analyst, put this together, probably even incomplete. There are a few things missing. But this is just since the end of World War II. These are the coups that the U.S. has perpetrated against other countries. Quite a big list. I wonder if we got our money's worth. Some of those places don't look like they're that awfully stable today. So, yeah, we're still dealing with 1953 in Iran, still to this day. But, you know, one thing, going back to the intel budget, which we're on here, Dan Coats justified this increase by a 6% increase by saying, we're having increasing threats from Russia and China. So we got to ramp this up to $86 billion. It is interesting, just for our spy budget, intelligence budget, is $86 billion. The entire military budget of Russia is only $70 billion. So how is it that they're spending less than just our intelligence, yet they're increasing in threat every year? And I'm wondering, are they that much smarter than we are? Are they that much more efficient than we are? How do they do it, you know? Or are we being lied to?
I just have an unusual thought. What if it's a collusion between our government and their government in playing this game? And they're all part of the business people, because we know that the CIA is in businesses. They set up businesses, and they're a camouflage. And so you find these people and set up a business. But they've also been in the drug business, too. There's a lot of people making money on the side. No wonder they're not going to have the audit. But I think your point is absolutely right. You know, putting fear into the hearts of every American, because the Russians are coming, and therefore we have to spend more money. They're involved in espionage like we are, and they're trying to protect their interests, but we're the ones that have done more to place on sanctions and freeze assets and really antagonize people. So it seems like it's such a waste of time and effort, and you just can't get to the bottom of it. That's why I've come to the conclusion that you cannot manage government, and that is why, instead of having this monster that's there to protect us and protect our economy and protect our health and to make peace for the world, that we need an entirely different type of government. We need a government that, well, maybe something like the founders thought about.
Yeah.
You know, a very small government, and one that may be designed to protect liberty for each and every individual, rather than playing these games, these world games, where it turns into be a financial monster. And of course, there's a lot of cronyism going on there, and then some of the misuse of all these funds, it's called capitalism. We have to stop this capitalism. That's just such a disgusting argument that the socialists are winning because they are pointing out all the shortcomings of capitalism. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'd like to see some of that capitalism, because I don't even think the average person has the vaguest notion of what capital really means. That would be an amazing thing if our colleges all of a sudden said, This is a course designed, and what we're going to do is teach you what the meaning of the word capital means. Okay. Where does capital come from? But no, the capital comes from government. The government spends the money. The CIA sets up businesses. We have a military-industrial complex. It's been working pretty good, except time runs out, debt consumes, and then a certain segment of the economy suffer the most. Ah, it's that free enterprise capitalism that's all that's a problem. And that means that we need an awakening on just some plain old definitions of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you started out by saying, hey, how about we follow the founders and the Constitution? Well, all the things we talked about today, I think, could be solved pretty easy using the Constitution, and that's simply Congress. Congress could take a look at the Overseas Contingency Fund and say, no, this is not going to happen. You can't do that. We're not going to appropriate money for that. If you want to have a war, you got to come here and have a declaration, do it the right way. It would be solved, but they're too cowardly to do this. They're too cowardly to assert themselves. And frankly, you know, I was just reading this morning, Dr. Paul, that Paul Ryan, the old Speaker of the House, he's going to get a really fancy position on this new Fox Corporation Board of Directors. There's a lot of good jobs out there for ex-congressmen if you don't rock the boat. And so there you have it. But I would just close by actually telling you, Dr. Paul, that for our conference in May 18th, we've now filled our host committee. Everyone step forward who's going to help us get the thing off the ground. So that's completely filled. We're sold, getting close to about half the tickets sold, and those are going really well. So we're looking forward to visiting with you on May 18th, a conference on the drug war, a good news conference, how we're finally winning. RonPaulInstitute.org/conference. Get your tickets right away.
Very good. And Daniel, I'm glad you pointed out that this is a story that does reflect the views of a lot of us over the years, that the war on drugs never made any sense. So I think the next war we need to declare on is the war on spending. If we could do as well on the general war on spending and why deficits are bad and why printing money is bad, I tell you what, we just might make some progress instead of the potential crises that seem to be building, because there certainly is, in spite of a tremendous amount of wealth in this country, there seems to be a greater degree of class conflict and generational conflict. And I put a lot of blame on the educational system, you know, of being taught the wrong things. And Daniel suggested, well, Congress should do a better job. The Congress is doing about what they learn in colleges, you know. They're not telling people why Congress is messing up. They're not even into it. They're into some type of social studies that said that we need more social programs and things like that. But no, we have a long way to go, and I think that we'll be delighted to meet as many people as possible on pointing out, you know, the tremendous disadvantages of the war on drugs and why that fits into the big picture of personal liberty, making personal decisions for ourselves and assuming responsibility for ourselves. And that makes a big difference, because the assumption of responsibility for our own actions right now is pretty weak. But that's been conditioning. It's been that way for a long time. It involves the morality of a society of being able to accept responsibility for our own action. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.